Welcome back. It's another episode of Afternoon Delight. Woo. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor. We got a scrimmage tonight, dadgummit.
That's what I've heard.
And when you're listening to this, the sun hasn't quite gone down, but it will be under the lights after said sun goes down.
What time do you release this?
4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Sun's nowhere close to going down.
Yes, yeah, just peak. It's like midday sun around 4:30 right now, which is glorious. Yeah, so got a scrimmage under the lights. How do we know it's under the lights? Well, Auburn football tweeted out. I mean, we knew it before, but
yeah,
they just tweeted out. Like, as we were hitting record, they tweeted this out, and I think this is hilarious. They're announcing a scrimmage to the public under the lights, and it's closed to the public, and they say so on the actual graphic.
It's like, hey,
what a dang tease.
We're having a birthday party. You can't come.
That's exactly what it's like. Yeah, it's exactly what it's like.
I mean, again, we all knew, well, in the media standpoint, and we've talked about it. I mean, I talked about it on my show earlier today, talked about it yesterday. Hey, they're going to be having a scrimmage on Thursday night. So it's not like it's been a secret, but I do find that particularly interesting that the official Twitter handle or X handle for Auburn football says, hey, we've got a scrimmage tonight. It's closed to the public.
Yeah.
And it's posted on a public forum.
Yeah. So I think that's funny. But, yeah, first scrimmage, I think first real scrimmage. Obviously got those probably some scrimmage periods at practice. But they're going to go, this is a dress rehearsal, man. They're going to treat this like a game. You've heard goalers talk about all the way the details of, like, figuring out where they stand on the field, like the coaches, who's going to be in the box, like everything. Like they're going to be – so there'll be somebody, I guess, up there, you know, calling in plays if that's what they – if that's their setup. They're going to treat it like a full game, headsets and all that stuff. So I don't feel like that's completely uncommon.
No, not at all.
In spring, but it does feel like the attention to detail is definitely going to be ramped up even this early in spring.
Yeah, it's not just a dress rehearsal. I mean, I had a buddy that used to work for CoachCom, and like you're talking about, they are going to put coaches in booths. I mean, those guys have to test their equipment too as they're headed into, you know, spring and A-Day and on into the fall and see what changes they got to make. So it's not just for the coaches, it's for other folks too. But I get making it a real thing, like what are coaches seeing from up top as opposed to what they're seeing on the field each and every day, you know, with those guys. And what adjustments are made. I'm just curious, Kyle, because it's been – every practice seems like it's been intense. Like, it's not been – they're not just, like, half-assing through. Like, and when they are, they're being called out on it. So, I'm wondering how intense this scrimmage will be, how long it will last. If you were a fly on the wall, if you were a media person that were allowed to attend or the public allowed, what all will they go over? How much time will they spend on certain things?
Yeah.
If they do something wrong, do they keep doing it again over and over and over till it gets done right? Like,
or is it just like a game?
Or is it just a game? Like, because I've seen where they go, oh, we're going to treat it like a game. And then all of a sudden somebody does something completely off the wall.
We're starting to rep it a bunch of times.
Yeah. They're like, nope, run it again. And it's like, okay, so it's not like a game because we're doing second 10 again. And, yeah. When they get it wrong, guess what? We're doing second and 10 again. And so,
well, those are a lot in, again, like those team offense versus team defense periods. At least we did in high school whenever that was whenever we'd rep it again. But when we would do a scrimmage, I mean, it was like a scrim. I mean, it was a scrimmage. You'd have referees there. You'd have first downs. You'd have a play clock, all that stuff. So, Ben, if you had to, like, the most ideal headline, what's the most ideal headline that you would love to see come from this particular scrimmage?
Oh, man, that's a good question, because if I go with my initial thought of what I was fixing to say,
yeah,
then it makes the other side very worrisome and look bad.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you can't win. Like, one side, people are going to be upset one way or the other. But what would you personally –
I personally would love the headline to be like something like Brown shines.
Yes.
Or offense way ahead of schedule.
That, yes, that's a good one.
However, if you say that and you put that in black and white, and that's the title of mine and your pod for tomorrow heading into the weekend, the question becomes, defense must suck.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you're kind of, you know, or we don't have depth on defense, or what's going on with the defense? How is it that offense comes in and all of a sudden just is spectacular, and we bring back the defensive coordinator as well as a lot of the staff, and we bring back a bunch of players from defense, and now they can't stop the offense? So I don't read it as that way, but I think fans would. But I would love to see offense ahead of schedule, or throws look crisp out of Brown, and
Brown throws three touchdowns.
Yes. Something
like that.
You know, two deep balls thrown that connected with
explosive plays. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think more times than not over the past, just several years, where we find ourselves is in the spin cycle, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about? We find ourselves in the spin cycle after these scrimmages because the quarterback is not performing, or the offense is not performing to an optimal or sufficient level. Right. So we find ourselves, oh, it's spring. Oh, the defense is always ahead of the offense. It's harder for the offense because – the defense is preparing for them and they're not necessarily preparing for the defense, all the stuff.
There's always you say spin, I say excuse. There's some sort of excuse for.
It's better for Auburn. I think I could be wrong on this, but I think it's better for Auburn if the offense is like ahead of the defense at this point in time. I think
it would
that'd be
nice. It'd be the first time in forever. And look, that goes back to, I tell everybody the story of back when I was going to more practices and covering the team on a daily basis was, back during Cam's year and when he was here. And I tell everybody going to those practices, Cam was never stellar going in. Like, the expectations were pretty high.
Yeah.
Cam, and at practice, he was missing throws. He would tuck and run, which they'd blow the whistle so he didn't get hit. And so you didn't see a whole lot. And so there was a lot of times where we left practice because we were allowed to go and see the practices and see the scrimmages. We're going, the dude's not as good as we thought he was. And physical specimen, yes. Cannon of an arm, yes. Could he put it together in practice? No, before the season started. And so you were like, brother. And then all of a sudden the season began, it was like, okay, so this dude, when the lights come on, is a different dude.
Oh, God, I wish if I could make an invention, if I could have an invention, it would be some way that a quarterback could be not injured and still be full contact.
Yes.
Especially guys like Cam and guys like Byron Brown for particular instances just like today. Like, and that's another thing. Like, unless you just do it and just roll the dice, you don't know. Like, you really don't know how their running ability can factor in. And I find it hard. Like, surely it's got to be kind of hard to even game plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, the one thing is, one advantage is Golish has had 3 years now.
Yep.
And a little bit of change to watch Byron perform in actual football games and against actual SEC opponents. But, man, I wish if there was some kind of pill or some kind of pad or some kind of system they could put on for a scrimmage and you could just go full contact and guarantee there would be no injuries. I think that'd be awesome. And you'd probably be a billionaire, trillionaire, but whatever that is. But yeah, there's going to be some limitations on him anyway. So that's what makes it even harder to know exactly how the offense goes, unless he does have some big throws, like make some big deep throw, some deep balls, or whatever. Because the scrambles, there's a video of Durkin. Have you seen it yet?
No,
I wish I would have clipped it. So there's a tweet, you got to watch it, because he's going, and I know what's happening. So they're running offense versus defense, and they got a mic and a camera on Durkin, and he's going, "That's a sack. That's a sack," because you can't tackle him. You know, you can't tackle the quarterback. Yeah. All you can do is touch him.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, but it's that whole weird conundrum you're in about like what to do when the quarterback needs to scramble, because that's going to be such a big part of Byram's game.
Yeah, because I'm not comparing Brown and Cam, but that was what I walked away from going to all those practices watching Cam, was anybody got near him, they didn't even have to touch him. Like, they blew the whistle.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until – and you saw what he did at Blinn. He was limited at Florida. They had packages for him at Florida that he did, so you didn't really know. And a lot of times Florida was up when Cam went in, so you didn't know if he was playing against – twos or threes or what he was playing against when he was at Florida. And then at Blinn Junior College, he just literally was a man amongst boys. So I didn't take a lot from that either, because when you're as big as Cam Newton was and you're at Blinn and a guy trying to tackle you is 5'10", 190, I mean, that's just not even fair. So
it's like
Arch Manning when he was in high school. Everybody always thought he was a superstar in high school. And then he got – all of a sudden he showed up on the field. It's like, okay, he's tall, but he ain't near as big as – what he looked in high school. And
yeah,
but it was the same thing in Cam's practices, where if they came anywhere, you know, they at the time they're like, "That's a sack, that's a sack, that's a sack." So he stopped, and then all of a sudden the season began and he breaks two or three loose, and you're like, and you're going, "Oh, wait a second, like, he is,
what do we have here?"
Yeah. Oh, this is not what I've been seeing in practice.
That first game, man, against Arkansas State, he did this. It was early in the game too. Was it the first score of the game, the one where he just like all of a sudden just said, "I'm just going to run for 70 yards and a touchdown"? Was that the first one of the game, or was that later in the game? I can't quite remember, but
it was later. But I do remember that it was the wake up call to a lot of, I'm not just going to say fans, I'm going to say even media too, because we had not seen that in practice. He never had an opportunity to do that.
I'm going to look up the play-by-play.
And that's my worry with Brown, like, this evening in the scrimmage. You know, I don't even think they got to touch him. I think if they get anywhere near him, Durkin's going to be yelling sack. Whistles are going to be blown. And so you don't know if he can – I can tell you this, from what I've seen out of Brown, he's got enough on film over the last 3 years, Kyle, just a arm grab is not going to bring him down. So
yeah,
you know, when people see that in practice or – you know, see it in a scrimmage, if any footage is released, because I'm sure War Eagle Productions will probably put something out from the scrimmage tonight. So we'll get to see probably a couple of things. You'll see when somebody gets near him, the whistle's blown, when we clearly know if they got near him, he'd be able to adjust. If they just got a hand on him, he'd probably break away from that. But it'll be counted as a sack this evening. So,
yeah,
that's still why I think that says more about the offensive line. If we get to hear Brown throws two deep balls or Brown has five explosive plays, I'm really patting the offensive line on the back, because we know that if anybody gets near him, they're blowing the whistle. And that's
a good point.
So
it'll be much easier to get a sack now than it'd be harder for them to prevent a sack than in general.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. That's a good point.
You know, you got feet behind you if you're an offensive lineman that can get away from a guy that you held up long enough.
Yeah,
and he got by you. Whereas in a practice like this, you held him up long enough, but it goes down as a sack because he got 2 feet deep in the backfield, and they blew the whistle because they were afraid Brown was going to get hit. So, yeah, if he has a stellar night throwing the ball this evening in the scrimmage, I think Auburn fans should be, number one, excited about him, but be really excited about the offensive line, because that means that they've probably done more than what they were supposed to.
Yeah, and, you know, from people that I've talked to and reports, I think running the ball early has been tough sledding, but yeah, DJ obviously is really good at stopping the run. He's been really good at that. So get the running game going too. I mean, you got that stable in the backfield as far as running backs go. A lot of good. I think more positivity on the offense is the most ideal outcome. I just – the defense is going to be all right. You know what I mean? Like, Durkin's going to be all right with what they're doing. And I want to see. I want to start getting excited for offense.
We need to get excited for offense because you and I talked about it on a previous pod. If the offense can stay on the field and give the defense a little bit of rest, I think that the defense will be even better than probably what we think they are.
Yeah,
because they've been doing nothing but huffing the last couple of years after all these three and outs and, you know, and
exposure.
And, you know, not just three and outs, but even if they have five plays, two of them were holding calls that went backwards. So,
or turnovers in bad spots. Like,
and so the defense has been put in short fields. And so if you can keep the defense out of a short field, you know, position, as well as maintain some drive so they can actually take some oxygen in on the sideline before they have to go back in on a three and out, especially if it's a three quick passing out, bro, that's when like 17 seconds come off the clock and those poor guys have got to go back out there. So I would say, okay, Kyle, let me ask you this. Since you asked me headline, who would you like to see offensively stand out, not name Brown or Singleton?
Ooh, good call.
I have one. Because I've heard nothing but great things about him, so I want to see him.
You go first, and I'll Nimrod. Think about Nimrod. Yeah, I mean, that's probably who I was going to go with.
Yeah.
And it would be more for confirmation than anything.
See, because everybody that I've talked to, people that have been on my show, people that have been at practice that aren't on my show that I've talked to, everybody's like, what do you see Nimrod? Nimrod that. And I'm like, okay, because I really thought I'd be hearing Brown, Singleton, running backs, you know, because you and I talked about it. We got three guys that could possibly start on anywhere in the country. And so we got them as like start, like running back A, running back 2A, running back 3A. And so, you know, somebody like a Nimrod or you know, it's been made a big deal online too about, you know, Kane and his speed. Like if he gets out there and just outruns everybody today, you know, in a scrimmage, you're sitting there going, okay, so that's different. So that'd probably be my two offensively.
I think I'd go with the running backs just because, again, and it could be any of them. I'd really like to hear something. I feel like I haven't heard anything about Bryson Washington. Like me I either. Joked, I had to go, I had to, I joked how I hadn't even laid eyes on him until the last, you know, the last practice that we went to. Haven't really heard anything, not necessarily positive or negative. They love Cobb, obviously. And if he's great, then awesome. Like, I love him too. But any of those running backs, I think with the idea that maybe you're struggling running the ball a little bit early, if they could pop, that'd be nice.
No, it would, especially since the defense has kind of stopped them. So now
that they're
going to be going, you know, more than likely full speed since it's a scrimmage situation. Washington's a good one because I think Cobb, I'm not saying Cobb pulls up at practice, but I'm sure Cobb's not doing 100% when he gets through there, make sure he stays healthy. The defense may see a, because it's funny because I had a buddy that told me he knows is it defensive lineman or linebacker pretty good? Anyway, it said, he was bragging on Cobb and said, you know, we still haven't had a chance to really see what he's got because we think he's got more in the tank. So you may see some of that show out in Cobb tonight. Tell you where, Kyle, looking ahead to the season, let me tell you where you're going to be able to hear Washington's name a lot. If Brown does what he's supposed to do, Cobb does what he's supposed to do, midway through the third quarter and fourth quarter when Washington's in there, he's going to make some defenses look pretty stupid, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, because some guys are going to be gassed. And
for sure.
A guy that's running at 95 to 97% against a defense that's running on 65 to 75%, that's going to be just unfair a little bit. And I say the same thing about Mapson whenever he gets in there, because Mapson's got that cutting ability and got an ability, those little bursts that he can have. That if Auburn can set the tone early, get a defense tired, I think these running backs could have absolute field days midway through the third quarter on.
Love it. I'm going to be trying to talk to some players' parents They're the ones that like to share. So we'll figure out how to get some intel from the night one way or the other. We got the basketball game tonight, so I guess it's going to be going on at the same time. So
8:30 basketball game, probably the over under by Andy Burcham was 8:39.5 on when it would start.
It's probably fair.
Because
I'll take I take the over.
Oh, I'm taking the over for sure. They ain't started a game on time.
8:45. That's what I'm saying.
I said he'd probably be safe setting the line at 8:40.
Especially if there's a game before it.
It is.
Yeah. Pound the over. Pound the over.
In the same facility.
Stack it to your chin. Ben, appreciate you, brother. We'll try to get some intel. We'll talk again tomorrow. Appreciate y'all listening, guys. We're out. War Eagle.
War Damn Eagle.